CliffCentral.com.
Well, I won't mess you around. We've got a jam-packed show for you this morning. We have no time to be buggering around with stupidity and wasteful, inconsequential discussion. We've got important stuff to do today. You want to know what's happening? Let me tell you. Listen to this. In fact, you know what? He's put it all together. Let me put you on to our producer. Very talented Michael Flax, who will take control of these things. First, let's say good morning to everybody, and up you get, rise and shine. It's Monday, it's a beautiful summer day. Had some rain over the weekend across various parts of the country, which I think a lot of people are relieved by. We got what we asked for, and do you hear anybody going, oh, I'm so grateful for this rain? No. Now you hear people complaining, oh, it's raining. People cannot make up their minds, huh? They don't know what they want, and when they get what they want, they go, oh, I don't know if I want this. It's terrible. People just don't know what they want. People don't know where they're going, but let's get on to the show for this morning. This is what's happening today on the Gareth Cliff Show. Over to you, Michael Flax.
We have Anthea Gardner coming in to keep you updated with the latest in the money markets.
That's it.
We have a guy by the name of Anthony Brook.
Yes, tell
me about
it.
Now, we all hate a Rubik's Cube.
I hate Rubik's Cubes because it takes me so long. This guy's like a genius of these things, right?
I've never solved in a Rubik's Cube.
No, it's just Rubik. It's not a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. A Rubik's Cube?
Yeah.
So what he does is, let's say St. Bolt is about to race like 100 meter or whatever he does.
Yeah.
As St. Bolt starts, he will start with
who?
St. Bolt.
Who?
St. Bolt.
Who's that?
The runner.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Jesus. It's an Rubik's Cube with St. Bolt.
My pronunciation is terrible.
Pronunciation. It's okay. Carry on.
So he'll start trying to do the Rubik's Cube, and he actually beats Usain Bolt. It's incredible.
It's amazing.
He's solved a Rubik's Cubes underwater.
Wow.
He solves the world record for fastest a Rubik's Cube solved
Michael,
whatever.
He just said Rubik's Cube. You have to keep saying it.
He also does it one-handed. So we'll get him to do it a couple times in studio, and we'll test him.
All right.
Rich Mulholland comes in today also for your reality check. God knows what he's going to bring in today, but I'm quite excited for that.
Yeah.
Noma Kumalo.
She's the winner of Idols.
Hey, now.
Just won Idols last night.
First female winner we've had in 7 seasons.
And this is probably her first official interview since becoming a winner.
That's correct.
So we want to hear all about that. And then Gemini Major, who's worked with all the A-list stars, is also coming in.
All right.
So, jam-packed, star-studded show.
Fantastic. Thank you, Flaxy. Have a good weekend.
Solid weekend. Well, it started on Black Friday, which was on Friday.
Yes.
Which I think is the biggest joke.
Apparently, they actually shut down some of the malls. They actually had to shut them down. That's what I heard. Like, they shut... People are so stupid.
They're the shut them down, people not getting specials.
I heard two dudes in the gym arguing on Saturday morning. The one guy says to the other guy, I am not going to any of these stupid sales ever again. The other guy goes, oh, you went. He's like, well, his wife went. So then they carry on talking, and you know, I didn't want to be eavesdropping, but the guy's like, please, if I want 10% off a toaster, I'm not going to go to the shops. So give me 50% of something really good, then I'll go. So he didn't go, his friend didn't go, the wife went, apparently she spent some money, he wasn't happy about that either. But that was their weekend.
We're proper coining it on Friday, like, there were TVs that normally retail for about 20 grand, which I saw going for just over 12 grand. And those were the ones that were winning at Black Friday.
Wow.
If you're going there for a toaster and saving 100 bucks, waiting in a 6-kilometer line,
six kilometers?
Okay, not six. Where I went to a Macro, and this was the busiest one.
Oh, you poor man.
People parked in the shopping center next door and walked in. There was 4 different lines. Now, the lines, I'm not joking, 0.5 kilometer each of the line.
No.
I went and I waited in the line. I wasn't even allowed to take my trolley in the line. It was so long, and they wanted to sort of condense the line. I got to a point where I thought, you know what, I'm saving 300 rand, and I'm going to wait in this line for a good 2.5-3 hours. Not worth it. I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's a good point, because in life, you've got to quantify what your time is worth. Otherwise, you're just being an idiot. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a sale. Okay, so you've got to spend 3 hours of your life doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't value yourself enough.
No, you don't. How was your weekend, Mubs?
Saturday, I went to the Sensory Summer Cup.
I saw a picture of you looking very smart. Hat and everything.
We try. The best advice that I can give is to never wear heels at these events.
Did you sink into the
No. I'm smart. So I wore
other
flats.
People.
Yeah.
Were there women being marooned without their shoes?
There were women who were getting stuck in the grass. They were being
pulled
out of the grass by their partners. They were hobbling about.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing to watch, but really, you know, heels are the single most stupid, most uncomfortable invention when it, like, as far as shoes are concerned. It really is.
And it's
counterproductive.
It's all meant to make the legs look good, right? That's it.
I don't know what it's meant to do, but it is counterproductive in any way imaginable. They're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They're bad for your back.
Right. Stupid.
It's completely stupid. But it was fun.
But you had fun.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because you weren't in the heels.
No, I wasn't.
Smart move from Mabali. Oh, that's great. So did you watch the actual racing?
Yeah, there were a few races that we caught. The smell of manure was, you know, it was palpable, yeah. Which every now and again I got a whiff of and I just, you know, scrunched up my face. But that's what you get. That's what you get.
All right. It's Cyber Monday today, right?
Yeah,
which means
Cyber
what
Monday.
Exactly?
Yeah, what is Cyber Monday again?
So that means you wait in the internet queue for 3 hours to save 100 rand rather than being in the actual queue.
Yeah, there were a couple of websites that crashed on Friday, so, I mean, we wait and see what Cyber Monday holds.
Oh, no. Oh, I can't believe people, like, they just, as Ben says, they don't value themselves enough. They'll actually spend 3 hours in a queue for a TV. Anyway, look, I mean, I suppose if you care enough about that stuff, it's really important to you, so who am I to judge? Maybe if I, if I was that in love with TVs. I thought about it the other day. I'm getting so little use out of my TV, I might as well take the thing down. I actually hardly use it. It's really only when people are there and we're either watching. It's news and sport. Those are the only two reasons to have a TV anymore. Everything else you can get online, and I don't see any point. It's all linked up to my computer anyway, so most of the stuff is straight off the computer onto the screen. The TV itself... no useful function on its own.
But sometimes you want to watch the movie or series on a bit of a bigger screen, share it with your friends and family.
I don't know. Hey, I'm actually very happy with this little screen.
So if your sister comes over to your house and you guys are watching a movie, how are you going to watch it on that little screen?
No, then you'll probably put it on the TV screen.
Yeah, so you
but,
don't sell your TV
but you,
just
you,
yet.
You mistake me for someone who watches movies with people.
No, but say you guys wanted to order pizza, bond, and watch a movie.
No, we don't need to do that. We're okay with each other on that front.
I stumbled upon the greatest series this weekend.
Yeah.
It's called Pure Genius. It's about this billionaire that starts his own hospital just to help people, but the technology inside is like next level revolutionary stuff.
It's a drama though, right? It's fictional. It's not real.
It's not real, but like the concepts are believable. Like we can one day get there. Like instead of x-rays, you just hold this piece of glass and you get a real time image of someone who's got like a blockage in a vein or something.
Dude, we're so close to that already.
I feel like this is like a preview of what's to come.
Listen to this. Mike says, sorry to interrupt, you know, I'm jumping around a little bit. Mike says, Umhlanga Check has turned over 4.6 million rand by 5 p.m. on Friday. Friday averages barely touch 1 million rand. They were still open until 10 p.m.
Mm.
Yeah, see.
Ka-ching.
Yeah.
I saw a video of guys at Checkers. It was so packed, they actually went into the back warehouse where they keep the stock, and they were helping bring the stock to the front so they could buy it.
Yeah. Madness. Ben, did you do any Black Friday stuff?
No, Gareth, I didn't.
How was your weekend?
It wasn't great. Eh? I've had better ones, but you can't win them all. That's pretty much it.
Now, why on earth would Alan Ford be phoning me at this time of the day?
Because he's trying to get a hold of you.
But he knows I've got the show. Why would he do that? What an irritating thing to do.
Maybe it's an emergency for
you. No, it's not an emergency. Please. All right. So the Sunday Times was headlined by the headline was completely rubbish. I did an interview with Gabby Mbele the other day.
Yes, let me just read that headline. It says, "Yes, I gave Mara that spiked drink," says Gareth Cliff.
Which I never said.
So then why did she write it?
God alone knows. Well, she's apologizing and sending messages to and fro, and she's having a bit of a meltdown. And, I mean, it's, you know, Gabby Mbele, who I did the interview with, she used to do the show here with Trevor Gumby, so I know her well. But a completely fallacious headline. I mean, I've never said that. There was no spiked drink, in my opinion. I know that all of us had a drink. This is, by the way, this is about five, six years ago. And it's still a story? Out of my whole book interview that we had, that's what they wanted to pull out? Anyway, so there's a whole chapter in my book, basically, about how newspapers make up headlines for sensationalism and to sell newspapers.
Yeah.
And that's what they did in this case. And whether it's the sub-editor or whoever, I don't know. It's just very, very annoying. What I can tell you right now, because I know there are a lot of people who normally wouldn't listen to us who are listening this morning to hear what's going on, I did not pour Mara any drink at all back in Idol season, God knows, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12, wherever it was, somewhere in there. When Mara was still on the show, you remember she had a bit of a meltdown on the show, and everybody was going, well, what happened here? And then afterwards, she blamed the fact that we all had the tiniest amount of vodka as a celebratory drink before we all went on, because it was the big, spectacular show or whatever it was. And Kim, the makeup artist, brought the vodka, and Randall had some, and I had some, and Mara had some, and none of us spun out or did anything stupid. Mara went crazy on the show, and that's what I recall. Anyway, I didn't pour her a drink. I didn't spike any drink. I've never spiked a drink in my goddamned life. You know, we're ripping into Bill Cosby left, right, and center about what he's doing. This is not something I would ever do. But I'm handing it over to the lawyers now, because I'm actually going to sue the Sunday Times. I have
good for you. Damn,
I have,
right.
I have reached the point where I'm sick to death of this crap. And in order to help them sell newspapers, I'm not prepared to be hung out to dry. And, of course, social media has gone crazy. Now, suddenly, I am the worst human being that has ever lived, and I cost this poor black woman her job, which is outrageous. It's a fallacious, false lie that is being perpetuated, and I'm not prepared to stand for it. I'm not prepared to have other people throw my name around. I'm sick to goddamn death of being everybody else's pillory for this sort of nonsense. So pass that around, especially to all those people on social media constantly looking for something shitty to say about me. Well, knock yourselves out, because when I sue the Sunday Times about this and they have to apologize, you'll have to apologize too. And I expect it in writing. Otherwise, I'll come after you individually as well. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, look, this is the way Twitter's actually going to go, Gareth. You're going to sue whatever's going to happen, and it'll be white privilege all on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
White privilege for a drink spiker.
Yeah, you can't win.
Oh, you know what? I saw your name trending, so I looked on Twitter, and you go through some of the absolute crap. People who just literally pick up half a headline from someone else, and suddenly it's rape culture, and you're the face of it.
Well, you
it's just ridiculous.
That's what one tweet actually said. Like, I'm the face of rape culture.
Yeah.
You know, this is why people don't take this campus situation with rape culture, if there is such a thing on campus, and you know we've had discussions around this, where it turns out that all those girls who were at Rhodes saying that they'd been raped, it was nonsense. They'd made it up. It was attention seeking. And this is the problem. Like, there are real issues for women in this country around this very heinous crime, but it's being watered down and associated with people who use the word she in the wrong place, or who don't respect someone's their gender pronoun. Then suddenly you're a member of the patriarchy who's trying to bring down all women, and before you know it, you're the face of
poster boy for rape culture.
Yeah
Just like that.
But this,
like Andile Mlitama, the guy who's being paid by the Guptas on Twitter to tweet things. I'm the face, according to him, of white supremacy. It's great.
This this is what is so dangerous about irresponsible headlines. I mean, you're saying that you have never spiked Marlowe's drink. The headline, you know, it suggests that you did.
No, it doesn't suggest.
No,
that it says that I did.
I mean, for somebody who just reads that, of course they're immediately going to think the worst.
And you know, that would be, that would make me a criminal.
Yes, it would.
Let's just be clear about this. What you're actually saying, Sunday Times, is you're not, it's not some fun interview where you're asking which judge would I like to house sit my house, because those were the other questions, and all this other fluffy stuff. Because somewhere in the middle of it, you're actually saying I'm a criminal. Now, the standards for crime may be very high in our country, because we've got a president with over 700 charges, criminal charges, that are waiting for him to deal with, or for the National Prosecuting Authority to deal with. I know that the standards for crime are high, but this beggars belief, and it is such a disgraceful abuse of the institutions of journalism that this kind of crap is allowed, that I'm not going to stand for it, and I don't think anyone else should. Outrageous.
So it's just the public's behavioral thing now. It's like you read half a shred of information and you believe it as gospel. You know, we had this whole discussion about fake news on Facebook and how it's becoming the norm. It's like people just haven't got the ability to fact check or even go through that. No one read your book from these Twitter rants. They go, "Oh, right, exactly. So much work. You could stand in a Black Friday queue for 3 hours for a fucking toaster,
but you won't read.
You won't fact check something for 20
seconds.
Just
read.
Just read."
I'm dying to read the book. When does it come out?
It should be out today. You know, it'll take about this week for it to reach all bookstores. But again, you know, then I put out a tweet yesterday saying, this is a fake and sensational headline, or this is a sensational, I can't remember what I said, but I said it's basically not true. Buy the book and find out. Then people go, you're trying to market your book. You can't win.
No, you can't.
So here is my story, because people are saying, well, what's the real story? So here's the story. It's part of a really nice, positive story. And I wanted to finish Idols on a high note, which I think we did despite all of this nonsense. It was my last season, last show, and I really wanted to go out in a happy, positive way. Make it all about the winner, Norma, who's coming in this morning. And that was the deal. That was what I wanted to do. I didn't want to cause noise and trouble. Then this comes out, and I have to go into the final episode of Idols, worrying that everybody else there thinks I'm either an attention seeker, and that I've put this story out, which would be outrageous, or worse, that I'm the kind of guy who's going around spiking other judges' drinks. And I've got a pretty good sense of humor, so I can see that that would be funny in, you know, in hindsight. But really, this is not, for me, something that that I'm happy to be a part of. I'm not going to be the plaything, and I had no part in this. The interview was lovely. Gabby was very sweet. She wrote a lovely review on her own Facebook page. I thanked her for it. Everything's cool. And someone who's manipulating headlines at the Sunday Times is going to have to cost them a bit of money now. That's all. Anyway, it's got that off my chest. Let's move on. We've got other things to do that are much, much more important this morning. For those who work, live, and play the night shift, get ready, baby, because there's going to be a little company for you. My Night Shift is a brand new show on Touch Central weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. It's hosted by some of South Africa's biggest names. Join hosts Tall Ass Mo, Nomza Mombatha, and Tim Modise. That's right, you heard those names. All three legendary. Let's go. Tall Ass Mo, Nomza Mombatha, and Tim Modise every single day here in Touch Central. They'll be saluting a different night shift through the week through a series of interesting interviews, trending topic discussions, the latest music, and much, much more. That's My Night Shift weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. It's zero rated for the MTN family. What that means is if you are listening, it doesn't cost you money. Just something you need to know about Touch Central at the moment. Okay, what else have we got going on?
You mean in the news headlines?
Well, we're going to have to get to that in a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, take a big deep breath and start your week with good things, because we're about to enter December.
Yay.
December is only a few days away. That means Ben's birthday as well. You know that.
Damn right.
everybody. It is Praise featuring Burna Boy and 69, which is, of course, a very important number in the sequence of numbers. Right, my bud?
Yes, absolutely.
Very important. Yes. Very, very big number. Tremendous number. All right, everybody, let's get cracking. We've got some news, we've got some sport, we've got some money. Everything you need to know. We'll start off with Mabale Moloi and a look at the news headlines brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. If you haven't been there, well, listen, I mean, you could take a horse to water, right? You can't make it drink. You are missing out on the finest pizzas. You are missing out on the finest salads. You're missing out on some really, really beautiful, well-cooked stuff. That's all fresh as can be, and it's just fantastic. The people there are cool, and it all came from one little store in Cape Town, and now they're all over the place. So, if you're looking for a place to book for your year-end dinner, your year-end lunch, you're taking the people who you work with out for a little meal, or maybe you're doing something for the family, this is the place to go. Check out the Colcacchio's Rewards app, and you can also find out how to make every experience that much better, not just for you, but for everybody else as well. It's very exciting. Here is
la, 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 la,
the news.
La 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 la.
Beautiful. That's from Mark Williams, wow, what a great song. Well
yes,
done, thank you, Mark.
It's definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yes.
All right, what's going on?
Okay, so let's look at who else has got problems on their plate, right? Finding it a little bit difficult to deal with stuff of late. That would be former public protector Thuli Madonsela, who is now going to have to face criminal charges that have been laid against her by the new public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane.
Oh, you got to be kidding. This country.
This is for distributing a recording of President Jacob Zuma's interview during her state capture investigation. Earlier this month, Madonsela admitted to leaking the recording. So, yes, she's admitting to doing that. But she said that she has absolutely no regrets as the truth had to be told. The audio disproved the president's claims that he did not get a chance to give his side of the story on the state capture allegations. To lay criminal charges against Madonsela following a complaint from the president.
Hmm.
Mkhwebane said that she opened the case with the police because the handing over of the recording was in contravention of the Public Protectors Act. Now, I know that a lot of you probably are fans of Thuli Madonsela. So, how do you feel about the fact that now she's going to be facing these criminal charges, especially in light of the fact that it seems to me like she's in the wrong here, or she did something wrong.
Well, no, I mean,
at least they're saying it's in contravention of the Public Protectors Act what she did.
That may be the case, but how does the Public Protectors Act compare with basic criminal behavior in the form of perjury on the president's part? And isn't it more in the public interest that we find out that our president is lying to us than it is that someone releases a piece of audio or a report, which, by the way, has gone public anyway? The report is public.
Mm.
So how can the audio of the report be an illegal thing? And if that's it's all procedural. It is a damning thing for this new public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, for her to have made this one of her first acts in office, diminishes the credibility of that office in exponential terms. This is unbelievable, and I think she's going to find herself jobless very, very soon as a result. I also think that what's going on at the NEC meeting of the ANC is probably what a lot of people are thinking about this morning. Yesterday they had a marathon session, and they're continuing that meeting today. This may be a tactical move within the ANC to get rid of the president, or it may be another victory for the president in that he will purge from the highest ranks of the party, all his enemies.
Well, Tourism Minister Derek Hanekom tabled a motion of no confidence against the president.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's going to be ex-tourism minister by what, 2 o'clock today?
I don't know. I mean, there are a couple of people since last week who have been saying that, you know, they want Cyril Ramaphosa to step in because they've also lost confidence in the president. But again, all of this stuff, very long, very dragged out. but no actual action taking place, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, you know, again, it was a busy weekend for the ANC-NEC.
Well, I heard that there have been a lot of secret polls and lobbying actions by members of the NEC, and what they've worked out is that out of the 80 members of the NEC, 34% would vote against the president, 30% would remain loyal to him, and the balance were undecided, non-committal, or unknown. So, there's only two courses of action that could unfold from the NEC. And by the way, it's been 2 days already. This will be the third day today. Either there's going to be a massive cabinet purge because the president is going to try and retain his office and his position, and his loyalists will stick by him, or he's going to go.
I mean, at this stage, it really is a game of chess, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about strategy. It's all about making
cards.
The right move. It's all about aligning yourself with the right faction.
Some NEC members, according to Ranjeni's article, say they've wanted to speak up to tell the president that he's destroying the organization and making a mockery of his duties as state president. There are several reasons why it took so long to confront Zuma at the NEC. Unlike Thabo Mbeki, who was no longer ANC president when he was recalled, Zuma is present at all NEC meetings, and it is somewhat intimidating to tell the senior most leader to his face that he is rubbish at his job. Secondly, the president's allies tend to shout down and attack those who challenge Zuma, and it has happened to ANC Gauteng chairperson Paul Mashatile when he ventured that the ANC should pay for the Nkandla upgrades. So, today's a very big day for our country. We'll have to see what happens.
All right, and then Cuba are in the process of recognizing a 9-day mourning period. This, of course, after the passing of Fidel Castro on Friday, who was 90 years old. The Cuban government have also suspended all alcohol sales and even sports games. There will be no sport. There will be no booze.
These people have not suffered enough.
There will be 9 days of mourning. And I mean,
well,
you better hope that the liquor cabinet is not empty at home, because you're not going to be able to get anything from the liquor store.
Just like everything else in social media, this has radically polarized everybody.
Absolutely.
The death of a 90-year-old, who really we should, it's just pure biology. There's nothing that exciting going on here. This just, you don't last very long. Once you hit your 90s, it's kind of the end game. So this is not a surprise or a shock. And he's been virtually vegetative for how long anyway? Which is why Raul Castro took over.
Yeah.
You know, it's a family business.
Mm, in 2008.
A lot of people are big fans of Castro because he did one or two interesting things. Here's what he did that was on the positive side. Free health care and free basic education for the people of Cuba. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Positive.
Mm.
It's a good thing. Doesn't change the fact that most Cubans who are living in America at the moment risk their lives to leave Cuba. And I've never heard of an American wanting to get into Cuba. But that's besides the point. Or anyone else from any other country, by the way. The other positive that he did was he sent troops to Angola to fight with Jonas Savimbi against the South African apartheid regime. And he's therefore regaled as some kind of a hero by, you know, members of the ANC. And I suppose to them, he is, because he helped their cause during the struggle.
Well, this is the thing, as is the case with most things in life. It's all about perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. And what your position is and how it fits into your worldview. It's that old game of confirmation bias. But to a lot of people, Fidel Castro was some kind of a hero, and to a lot of other people, he was a tyrant. You decide which one you think it is. The people of Cuba, are they happier now? Are they sad? He was a bit of an anachronism. What I mean is that he is a relic from the past. There aren't people like that anymore. There's only one leader left in the world I can think of who hermetically sealed his nation off from progress and the rest of the world, and that's Kim Jong-un.
Mm, North Korea.
Who also inherited the place from his dad, and his dad before him, just like Raul inherited it from his brother Fidel. Fidel also sent his friend Che Guevara, who we regard as some kind of a hero too in certain circles, off to Bolivia to fight a pointless battle and to be butchered in the forest. Good, bad, you decide. He also banned Christmas. People don't know that. But I mean, you got to be a pretty miserable individual to ban Christmas. Christmas is the one thing in a country where there are a lot of Catholics, he shouldn't be banning. But he did. He banned Christmas. There were no Santa Clauses, no jingle bells, no decorations, nothing.
So he was the Grinch?
Probably.
Oh, wow. I always wondered who the Grinch really was.
So, Brother Raul took over in 2008, and this was after Fidel Castro had ruled for nearly half a century. Okay.
Well, there we go.
Just to give you an example of, you know, that polarizing effect that you were talking about that we saw on social media, U.S. President Barack Obama called Castro a singular figure, and he said that the United States would extend a hand of friendship to the nation. But Donald Trump has threatened to reverse Obama's opening to Cuba. He issued a blunt statement calling Castro a brutal dictator who oppressed his own people for nearly six decades.
So there it is. Two people in the same country with a totally different opinion of Castro. Oh, who knows? And who cares? The guy's dead. MoveOn.org.
Those are your headlines at 6:30.
All right, Ben, what do you got for us on the sport?
Well, Gareth, the Springboks year is finally over. That's probably the best news that they've heard since, well, I think that's it. That's the year. That's the best news that it's over.
So what happens to them now?
Well, they come home. Alistair Coetzee has a few meetings where he puts on a stern face. Saru talk a whole bunch of crap about restructuring, finding solutions. Everyone then has a big boozy lunch, and they call it quits for the year. And then we come back next year. Alistair Coetzee will still be the coach. Everyone will be like, yeah, but you know, it's going to get better and blah, 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 cliches. And then nothing will change. That's pretty much going to happen. Yeah. But the worst ever, ever, ever Springbok year. 8 losses. And then, I mean, 8 losses. There's been coaches with half as bad a record at being fired on the spot. Like, literally stricken down in public. like, woken up to the news in the newspapers that you are done. That's good to see all escape this, though, because Sarri are such a bunch of inept losers. And they also haven't put anything like a performance clause in his contract. So if Sarri are going to grow some nuts and decide to do something like, I don't know, tell Alistair Coetzee maybe it's not going to work out for you, they've got to pay him out for 4 years, which is makes just stupid financial sense. These guys can't afford that because, surprise, surprise, who's going to sponsor the Springboks now?
No one. Nobody wants to touch them.
No one's going to sponsor the Springboks, so where's the money coming from? People are going to go watch the game, so where's the money coming from? These guys are going to have to really fight over the scraps because these fat cats have had it so good for so long with companies like Absa and BMW and all the other companies, big companies putting money into them. Nowadays, people are like, they go into these sponsorship meetings literally like they're throwing dice. I mean, they've got nothing coming out of these things. So it's going to be interesting times for Sarri because now they actually have to do some work. And the fact that you've got people who are running them into a position like this shows they can't actually do work. All they are is just bottom feeders skimming off the top. And that means that Sarri's not going to go anywhere unless they do make these massive changes.
So in other words, get ready for another couple of years of shitty Springbok behavior.
Yeah, pretty much. In other international rugby, well, Italy, this kind of, again, just highlights the box plot. Plight, sorry, Italy 17, Tonga 19. Italy, yeah. The guys that beat us, they lost to Tonga. Fiji, they beat Japan 38-25. England, in a very entertaining win against Argentina, had 13 men on the field for, well, I think 20 minutes. They had a guy sent off early in the game, but Argentina, they still couldn't actually get one over the English, so 27-14. Scotland, they're looking pretty good right now. They beat Georgia 43-16. That horrible mess of a game with South Africa, 27-13. I'll go more into this on my show on Cliff Central at 10 o'clock. So I'm not just brushing over it. It's just that we've got lots to get through.
All right. So Wales, don't miss the bounce show at 10.
Yes, 27-13. Wales won. Ireland, 27-24. Now, they got off to a blisteringly quick 17-0 lead at halftime. Aussies fought back. Irish held on, 27-24. So if it wasn't for the New Zealanders, every single Southern Hemisphere team would have basically lost in the big ones. And France, well, it looks like the France of old suddenly come out of nowhere. They did lose New Zealand 24-19, but what a scoreline that is, huh? It doesn't mean much for my bets, but 24-19, that is a really good game. But New Zealand, of course, they come away at the end. They always win. It was the SA Sports Awards last night, so a glitzy, glamorous affair.
I saw a bit of it because we wrapped up Idols, and we had a post-Idols wrap party, which I went to, and it was on the screens, and it looked terrible. It really did. It looked terrible.
Yeah, well...
Did you watch it?
I watched bits of it. And? I watched 3 minutes of it.
Yeah?
And then I went to bed. Yeah, Gareth, it's it's just, I hate being this kind of guy because it makes you sound like you're high and mighty, but it's just such an amateurish performance and production. It's exactly the same as the SA Rugby Awards. Like, it's just, mediocrity is just king in this place. It really is. Just bad stuff and just boring, no insights, running through the motions. It's just sad. But we've got great sports stars, so let's rather focus on them. Sports Star of the Year, Wade Vernieuwkerk. Sportsman of the Year, Wade Vernieuwkerk. People's Choice of the Award winner, Wade Vernieuwkerk. So obviously he cleaned up last night because he's such an exceptional person. Mm. Interesting point that the Coach of the Year was Anna Buerta, which is Wade Vernieuwkerk's coach, which says two things. Well done, obviously, raising a world champion. Secondly, how crap are our sports teams? Like, Coach of the Year goes to a football coach, a cricket coach, a rugby coach. No, it's Wade's coach. Little Anna Buerta gets up there. He looks like an old auntie from the Free State, and she's Sports Coach of the Year.
Well, good for her. She coached a champion.
Yeah. Exactly. Well done. Created a champion.
There are no champions in rugby, cricket, and soccer.
No. Sportswoman of the Year, Costa Semenya, no doubt. Team of the Year with Mamelodi Sundowns. Of course, they were just absolutely huge. And Newcomer of the Year Award, young Ntando Mahlangu, who we interviewed here. That 14-year-old kid who got the silver medal in the Paralympics.
Very good.
What a year it has been for him. In the football, okay, so there was one PSL game. Sundowns absolutely hammered Highlands Park 5-0. You know, they got those games to catch up on when they really are catching up at a rapid rate. Four wins for them on the trot now. Telkom Knockout Cup, that was the big one locally, though. Cape Town City, they hammered Free State Stars 4-1, and SuperSport United beat Orlando Pirates 1-0. Not the 6-1 of last time, but still, SuperSport United reigning supreme over Orlando Pirates this season so far. So the final will be Cape Town City versus SuperSport United, 10th of December. That's going to be a humdinger. And then in the EPL, English Premier League, Burnley 1, Man City 2, Swansea 5, Crystal Palace 4. What a game that was. Liverpool 2-0 over Sunderland. Leicester drew 2-2 with Middlesbrough. Chelsea 2-1 over Spurs. And Arsenal 3-1 over Bournemouth. That's the big things from there. The cricket, unfortunately, the Proteas could not make it a clean sweep. There were some heroics by Faf du Plessis early in the game. Scored a great 100, made a bold declaration. But our bowlers were just never in it, sadly. And the pink ball, well, Aussies now 2-for-2 in the pink ball. I was quite surprised by this because the newcomers that came into that team did not look very good. I mean, I've never seen two more awkward people with a bat in their hands than Renshaw and Hanscom. Hanscom got a 50, though. Renshaw did sort of stutter his way around to still be at the crease at the end of the game. So good on Australia. They've got a win. It is their first win in six games. Obviously putting a long losing streak to the end. And currently India are playing England. England were bowled out quite cheaply in the first innings for 280-something. Mm-hmm. And India are now in the lead by 18 runs. So they're 7 wickets down, 302 on the board. Jadeja and Ashwin had an incredible partnership. Ashwin has gone. Jadeja's still there on 47. And then New Zealand versus Pakistan, also a game that's currently in progress. New Zealand are 342 runs ahead with 5 wickets in hand. So it looks like they're going to win that one again as expected. And there's two more things. Golf, World Cup of Golf. Denmark came out of nowhere to win that one, and they won it pretty emphatically, actually. Thorbjørn Olesen and Søren Kjeldsen, they were the winners there. But the motorsport yesterday was very interesting because we all knew that Lewis Hamilton had to win, and basically Rosberg had to finish down off the podium. So Hamilton, who called himself the moral champion this year, before the race even went out, he said he's the moral champion in regards to what happens in Abu Dhabi. He was always going to win it. He led from start to finish, but he was being such a dick. Or was he actually just being the true champion he is? Because what he was doing is he was in the front of the race. He could have gone faster. His team was saying, Lewis, please speed it up. You're making the race slower. Yeah. Lewis is like, I'm perfectly fine doing what I'm doing, thanks. And then it's like, Lewis, please pull over for Rosberg so we can make the race go faster. No, I'm perfectly fine here. Thank you. Let's just race. Ooh. So there was this interplay that was so awkward between Mercedes, Team Vox, and Lewis. And Lewis just going, look, screw you guys. I'm winning this race. I'm the champion. So even though he could have gone faster, he was making it slow because what he wanted to happen was he wanted Vettel and he wanted forgotten the guy's name, Verstappen, to basically get in front of Rosberg so Rosberg can crash out or finish fourth. It wasn't to be. Rosberg held on for second, and he won the world championship. But it means that Hamilton won 10 Grand Prix this year, Rosberg won 9, and the really interesting thing was watching the interplay between the two of them afterwards. So, you know, there was the cliched little handshake and well done, bud, but there was no interaction whatsoever. Hamilton just stood there like, screw this, I'm the champion. I think you're toss about you guys. And then that guy with the really ginormous head, that Scottish Formula One driver, a retired guy, was trying to get them to talk to each other on the podium, and it was just so cringe. So, so funny. Anyway, that's it. Rosberg is the Formula One champion for 2016. And that's your sport for this hour. More in the next.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. Don't forget, on the 11th of December, we are going to have our carols at the Lyric. That's our Cliff Central carols. You can book a compy ticket. All proceeds go to Headway, the charity which we support. Proverb will be there from Idols. Terra Tebogo, also from Idols, performing with the Soweto Gospel Choir, and more surprises in store. You can find out all the details on cliffcentral.com. Go along there and take a look at that. And we wrapped up a beautiful season of Idols last night, which I was very, very happy to be a part of. And you know what? We're going to have a Christmas celebration that'll start off the festive season for you on the 11th of December. So get your tickets there ASAP. Anthea Gardner next with A Look at Your Money.
You could go, you could stay. Da 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 da.
All right, let's go. It is Fergie with Life Goes On. Yep, it does. And Anthea Gardner knows that the only reason it's worth making an effort to get up in the morning is because you're going to make some money. She's here with us this morning. It's time for the money shot. Let's find out what's going on. Anthea, a new song for you.
She was hard for money.
Do you like it? Got to be the most covered song in history at this point.
Or it's that you've just found every version.
I think I found every version. Anyway, if you've got a version that you want to do, then send it to us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I'll put it up for you. All right, so what do we need to know? How was Friday on the markets?
Friday was not bad. Market closed positive. Volumes low. I mean, it was the second lowest volume day this year. But then, of course, you know, it was Thanksgiving on Thursday, and the U.S. was closed for half day on Friday. And then also, I think people were just waiting to see what was happening with the ratings agencies, who actually only made their announcements after the market closed. A couple of kind of big macro themes going on Friday. Gold settling below $1,300 an ounce. Can you believe that in 2008 it was $1,800 an ounce?
So in other words, if you'd bought gold in 2008, right now you'd be very unhappy because you would have lost a lot of value.
Yes, so gold really acting like the safe haven metal, right? And I had a look at these because in 2008, 2009, when we had the GFC, the global financial crisis, everybody ran to gold. Mm-hmm. It spiked up to $1,800 an ounce. And now it feels like people are thinking maybe the world's still okay because gold's $1,285. So it's almost like an indicator of where the world is economically. I think that's kind of what I'm saying. The interesting thing, though, is oil, because kind of round about that time, oil spiked. If you remember, before the GFC, oil spiked to over $100 a barrel. In fact, it reached $130-odd a barrel, and it's now well below 50. It spent most of this year below $50 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just demand. So kind of that's a bit counterintuitive, because you would think that with kind of global growth coming to the fore, that oil would spike a little bit. But it's all to do with the fact that there are a lot more people online, and there's still a lot of inventory in the system, and they didn't cut production when oil spiked. They kind of just produced and they stocked it up, and now we're using up all the stores of oil, and that's why oil's staying so low, really. And then the rand is an interesting one, because on Friday, the rand closed at about 14.15 to the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Last time this year, it was actually around, it was slightly stronger at 14.03. And now this morning, I see the rand is 13.99 to the U.S. dollar. And I don't know if this has got something to do with this ANC-NEC meeting and that traders are expecting something to come out of it. But if you think, like, So the rand is pretty much where it was this time last year, but
right.
Haven't we had a ride, right? Because soon after this time last year,
mm-hmm.
we had Nenegate, and the rand went to 16.87, I mean, almost 17. And it was as strong as 13.18 between last year and this time.
Now, what happened with Fitch and Moody's?
Okay. So, yeah, this is a funny one. I feel like we're just, South Africa's just the errant school child. Because they didn't downgrade us. They changed, both of them, changed our outlook to negative or downgraded our outlook and not the actual rating. And so we're like the school child who's just barely passing, and they keep going, well, you guys got to get it right. Like, your SOEs are bleeding cash. There's no growth. Your politics is a problem. And, in fact, politics was the big red flag. You need to sort this out. Otherwise, we're going to downgrade you. And then they don't downgrade us. And I think it's a good omen for Standard & Poor's rating coming out this Friday. So maybe if Fitch and Moody's haven't downgraded us, then maybe S&P won't. But S&P did something funny on Friday as well.
Mm-hmm.
They downgraded Eskom. So they looked at Eskom, and that's a terrible sign, actually, because it almost follows that the sovereign will get downgraded as well, because the sovereign basically guarantees your state-owned enterprises. And if they're downgrading Eskom and saying, well, you know, you guys have got a problem. You don't have enough money. You're bleeding cash. You haven't sorted it out. You keep talking about this nuclear deal, which you don't have money for. And now they're I think they're actually two notches below below investment grade. So they really are junk.
And is anyone able to lend them money?
Yeah, There is a field or an investment kind of allocation for junk bonds. I'm sure you've heard of junk bonds. Mm-hmm. They always do this, they always talk about these in the movies because they're so risky, but they do offer higher yield. In other words, you as the borrower, Eskom, will have to pay more, and you as the investor take on the extra risk. So the question is, can the government afford to guarantee Eskom? And because Eskom just keep asking for more money, maybe South Africa will get downgraded along with that. But we don't know. I still think it's binary. I think Friday is a wait and see.
All right. Well, in other words, we've got a break. That we're a lucky break.
From Fitch and Moody's.
But Standard & Poor's still to come.
That's right, yes.
All right. Let's talk about NASPAS for a second. Most expensive share on the JSE.
You keep saying that. The share that...
Highest priced share on the JSE.
Actually, you know what? It probably is one of the most expensive shares on the JSE because it's trading at like a ridiculous price earnings ratio. So
yeah.
You might. I don't think it is. But
what's it currently at?
2,100 and something. Close to 2,200 maybe?
2,087.
Oh, below 2,100. Okay. Because it had a little bounce on Friday. So a decent set of results. The issue came in with their DSTV, their MultiChoice, and Showmax, because they're definitely getting hurt by the launch of Netflix in South Africa earlier this year. And then they've had a couple of weaker kind of currency issues as well, because obviously the African currencies are weaker and they're buying content in dollars. They're paying for content in dollars, so of course they struggle. They've also got $202 million trapped in Angola, Nigeria, and Mozambique because of the currency restrictions. So you can't actually take money out of the country. And in fact, I was speaking to someone on Friday who said that they had in dollars confiscated. So they translated whatever the Naira into dollars so that they can repatriate it, because they don't want to bring Naira to South Africa. There's no point. They want to bring dollars. And the government actually just confiscated it and said, sorry, we'll take the dollars, you keep your Naira. So now they can't get their money out of the country. And this has been an issue. I mean, for obviously MTN is one of the big ones as well. Any company that currently operates in Angola, Nigeria, Mozambique, and it's difficult to repatriate cash.
Jeez, well, don't
and
do,
even Iran.
Don't do business there then. If you can't even get your money in or out, what's the point of doing business?
Because the market is rife and there's demand for their product. So
too risky.
It is risky, unfortunately. So the good thing, though, for NASPAS is that headline earnings per share was up 31%, and that was mostly their e-commerce business. So some of the businesses that they initially invested in are now finally beginning to make profit. And then, of course, we saw Tencent's results 2 weeks ago. And, of course, you know, that's just lovely.
That's great news.
Great for NASPAS.
All right. Richemont.
Richemont.
Shame they haven't had a good time.
No, they're having a really bad time, actually. They said last week that they were going to cut 210 jobs in Switzerland, and then they got protests. So people in Switzerland
were... 210 jobs?
Yeah. 400 people protested. I mean, you know, Richemont makes 20 million timepieces a year. They've been doing that for two decades now, so that's quite something.
Are they laying off some clockmakers?
They're laying off clockmakers. That's exactly
seriously.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Shame. Well done. Can't be that many clockmakers in the world, huh?
Well, I think that's probably the issue.
Oh, well.
But so Swiss watch sales in October were the worst ever. They fell by 16%. And so Richemont obviously are going, oh, something's going on here. I thought it would be the bottom of the cycle, but apparently it's not just Asia where they're losing sales. It's also Europe and the U.S., which are, you know, there's always one market to subsidize the other. And now that they're seeing these sales decline across the board, it's actually quite a bad thing for them.
Well, the new status symbol isn't a fancy, expensive timepiece on your arm. It's a smartwatch.
Indeed. And in fact, Richemont have cottoned onto that because they're actually now moving into the lower end of the market as well. So I think where they're cutting jobs was in Vacheron Constantin watches, which cost $150,000 each. So I think they've got it. You know, it's time to move into the cheaper watches.
All right.
Yeah. poor Richemont. But you know, a while ago, they also, Jan Rupert, got rid of the CEO. And I think I said this before. He said he was going to be the air traffic controller of egos. He's cutting out his CEO. He's going to run the company and make it leaner. So.
And he's clearly doing that. Now, what about Soho Sun?
Yeah, so this is interesting. They also reported results last week. Some good, some bad. You know, they've taken advantage of the collapse in the British pound and spent 500 million rand buying into International Hotel Properties Limited, which is a UK-based hotel group. And so they're saying, oh, obviously this is their opportunity to do it. South African revenues, just okay. You know, hotel division increased by 22%, which is not bad, but the gaming division only increased revenues by 4%, and it's still a good number, 4.5 billion rand. But there's no doubt that things are difficult in South Africa, and even the kind of gaming and hotel industry feeling the pressure, definitely. They've already spent in the last 6 years, I think, 5-6 years, 20 billion rand revamping, rebranding, all sorts of things. And they said they're going to spend another 6 billion rand. So they're not spending to expand. They're just spending to keep up and kind of redo their hotels. And that, I think, is a concern. And so the share was under pressure again. I think once they're done that, though, it would be nice to see them kind of come online and do something a little bit more creative. And I think maybe expanding into the UK is a good one. They already have operations in, wait for it, Nigeria, Mozambique, although we've just spoken about that, and Kenya. So maybe we'll see a turnaround there. We don't know. And then hopefully some increase from the UK business.
All right, now Black Friday is a big day. Flax and Ben and Mubs and I were talking about this just a moment ago. Apparently, they even had to shut down some shopping malls on Friday in South Africa.
In South Africa,
yeah.
In the US, not the same story. So in the US, sales have declined.
Uh oh.
Yep. Sales in e-commerce, online sales for Black Friday, which is not supposed to be how it is, increased by 18%. So I think what you're seeing now is the merger between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And quite frankly, I think having an online store is no longer USP. It's kind of a passport to play. So you bricks and mortar, nobody wants to go there anymore. Nobody wants to go into the shopping malls. Nobody wants to be fighting for...
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, and so there's a lot more online shopping. And in fact, eBay, very naughtily, is that even?
That's a good word. Naughty, go on.
Said that they've encouraged consumers to start shopping by phone and called the Thanksgiving Eve Mobile Wednesday. So the retailers just keep doing this. They find any excuse to get the consumer to spend. And
People fall for it. They line up.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. But the kind of Black Friday stuff, that's just not happening anymore. You certainly remember Singles Day on the 11th of November in China. That was huge, and that'll keep going. But that, again, that's online e-commerce, right? Mm-hmm. South Africa, unfortunately, I mean, you say they had to close shops, but the retailers in South Africa, I think, are desperate, because in July we saw retail sales growth grow by 3.8%. August it was down to 1.5%. September it was down to 1.4%. And so October was down to 0.9. So you see the steady decline in retail growth. And our retailers are coming under pressure. I mean, I haven't seen Woolworths trade this low for months. Obviously, we know Mr. Price had a problem kind of with their winter gear. And they're definitely getting market share being eaten by the international. So Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it's just a big push by retailers. And I kind of hope they'll do okay, to be honest.
What about this? This is Stephen's question. Please ask Anthea about Rhodes. The value has dropped radically. Good time to buy?
Yes. So Rhodes Food Group, we spoke about last week because I said it's fast becoming one of my favorite companies. This is the guys. They've just bought Paco and Marbaker, spent $400 million. And then last week, Wednesday, they went into the market to do a capital raise of 660 million rand. So it looks like they're going to try and be acquisitive and buy something more. The share fell 7%, but that's what happens. They issued 25 million new shares, so of course it'll have the effect of being dilutory on the other shares. That's why. So yes, if you fancy taking a little punt, I reckon it'll be 6 months to a year before the share kind of really has a nice spike, if they do anything significant with the 600 million rand that they raised last week. So they've strengthened their balance sheet a bit, and it's time for them to go shopping.
All right, and time for everybody else to do that if you believe in Cyber Monday. So thank you, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
My pleasure, thanks.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. Coming up in a short while, we'll meet the guy who can do the Rubik's Cube faster than anybody else. And he's done it underwater. He's done it in all kinds of weird places. So we're going to meet him in just a second. Don't go anywhere. 13 after 7. Touch Central FM, cliffcentral.com.